In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Although it's difficult, I truly believe we are better served by tackling the hard things about life and faith head on, rather than pretending that they don't exist or have no consequence. Today our readings are a treasure trove about human sexuality and marriage, two topics much discussed and much misunderstood in our day. Today, we'll just draw some basic conclusions from these powerful scriptures. But I urge you later to sit down when you have some time and read through these scriptures from today. They are really a great source for what we as Catholics think and teach about sexuality and marriage. You see, Catholics are not puritanical in regards to sexual love. We're not against it at all. In fact, the opposite is quite true. God has revealed it to be a magnificent gift. But we live in a culture that's been formed by the sexual revolution. There's an important difference between the Catholic biblical view and the view of the culture that surrounds us. Our culture, when we look at it honestly, treats sex as an act done for its own sake. It's an expression of your own personal liberty. The pleasure that you can get from it is the main reason for doing it. But look at what that kind of thinking does. It treats the sexual act as a kind of recreational activity. On one level, not much different than, say, playing tennis or some other sport. It becomes pleasure divorced from even the vaguest sense of connection, friendship, commitment, or love. That's why it's called today the hookup culture. Have you heard about the hookup culture? Well, your children have, that's for sure, on college campuses especially. But the psychological effects that this has on young people, especially young women, is staggering. It's people being treated merely as objects to satisfy another person's desire. Contrast that now with the biblical view. In the original plan, in the original creation, we see God pronounced his creation as good. And Jesus bypasses the Pharisees' arguments today about what is a good enough reason to send a wife away or a husband away. And he takes them all the way back to God's original plan for us. And so he quotes Genesis. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh. Listen to the word there. And then he says, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. So first of all, that fleshiness, sex is itself good. It's physicality, it's joy, it's good. But second, to achieve its real goodness, it must be tied to love. Otherwise, we have all kinds of weird abandonment issues. We have all these things if it's not tied to love. And remember the definition of love, to will the good of the other, to will the good of the other as other. Love is a radical self-gift. That's why the Eucharist is the ultimate expression of that. Jesus gives himself, holding absolutely nothing back to you, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's giving himself to his bride, the church. He holds nothing back, and that's what he wants back from us. It's exactly what we mean when we talk about Christian marriage, which is that total gift, 100% of husband and wife to each other for the good of each other. Now, third, not only is this tied to love of the other, it also is tied to love of God, the one who is love. If we hope to understand love, we need to know the author, not just the author of love, but the one who is love. What God has joined together, Jesus said. See, it takes three to get married in Christ in order to reflect that inner love of the most holy Trinity. And finally, a fourth point. After making these observations about marriage, beautifully the gospel tells us the story about people bringing their children to Jesus. The disciples rebuked them, it says, but Jesus saw this and uses the word, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." What is the fruit of all this, of the joy and pleasure of sex, of placing the sexual act within the context of love, of tying it all to God? What is the fruit of all of this? Children. God willing, children. We live in a culture that in some ways has become antagonistic to children. To children. Abortion is one glaring example, but there are many others we could name. When a child is conceived, it doesn't mean that something went wrong. It means something went right. When you have to take a pill to make something that's so beautiful not happen, that a new life won't happen, then there's something we need to look again at what we're doing and why we're doing it. There's nothing more beautiful than a new life, a child, nothing more innocent. And the kingdom of God belongs to them. This is the way it's supposed to work. It's the fruitfulness of love. And Jesus wants Christian marriage to be different. He wants it to be different. He calls those married in his name to be a beacon of light and hope in this world, a world that is in such desperate need of both light and hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and